And today, I want to start off with a verse from Acts chapter 14, verse 22. And a funny thing, this verse, they were using it to strengthen the souls of the disciples. That's the very first part. This verse is to strengthen the souls of the disciples, exhorting them or encouraging them to continue in the faith, saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. How encouraging is that? Through many tribulations, well, we have to enter into the kingdom of God. But this is what they were saying to strengthen the hearts of the disciples who had ran into more than their share of turbulence in their life. And our world is full of turbulence, isn't it? And sometimes we wake up in the morning and we think, Lord, this is shaping up to be a Mission Impossible episode. Amen. You ever had one of those? A Mission Impossible episode? And, well, in the kingdom of God, sometimes that happens. And, you know, impossible things happen, but everything is possible with our God. That's the awesome thing. And, you know, if we move to a new land, we'd have to, if we want to prosper in that new country, we'd have to learn the language, we'd have to learn about the culture, we'd have to learn about their customs if we want to prosper there. And you know, it's exactly the same in the kingdom of God. We need to immerse ourselves in the kingdom customs and into the culture of the kingdom and into the character of the kingdom. And you know, we start off on the starting line, but we learn as we go along. We learn about our God, and wonderful thing about God is that I've been trying to get to know Him for 44 years, and I've got a drop in a bucket of knowledge about the Lord, but I haven't even filled the pail up yet, and there's a whole ocean, so it might take all eternity to get to know Him. But God wants to show us His ways. He wants to reveal who He is to us, and pretty exciting. Last Sunday morning, we heard how when Jesus came and died on the cross and rose from the grave, that He was creating something that was non-existent before. He was opening up a doorway into a new creation that we can all enter into, and a doorway that was sealed before that. And you know, the scriptures tells us there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth and a new you. Hallelujah. And God's plans are moving forward. God's plans are always moving forward. And yet they're not unavoidable. And the old creation's passing away. The new creation is moving forward, whether we are ready for it, whether we're not ready for it. And God causes us to be born of the Spirit, and that's the first fruit. Isn't that awesome? We have the first fruit of this new creation living in me. I've been sealed. Hallelujah. God has marked each one of you that have been born of your Spirit, and we're part of this new creation, and everything is set in motion, and it gets pretty exciting. But now that you've invested in Jesus, and you've got to the starting line, you know. Have you ever asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, where you ask Him to forgive you of your sins, and it gets you to the starting line, and you just get started, and then there's something else that pops up. And this pops up for every Christian, whether we like it or not. It's something that's unavoidable. And now that you've invested in Jesus, and there's another situation that comes along. In that situation, we read about it in Galatians 5:17, and it'll be a popular verse for most Christians, but you know, if you're just near the starting line, you don't really understand it. It says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Yeah. Hallelujah. I don't know how long I was saved before the Lord popped this up. And, oh no, it's something else that has to be taken care of. But it's kind of a battle that every Christian has to go through. And it gives us an opportunity to invest in the old creation or in the new. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you know, when we're born of our mom and dad, We inherited an old nature that came from the very first Adam who sinned in the garden. They call it the old nature. They call it the old man. Some people call it the old woman. And praise God. And so we're born with that, whether we know it or not. That's in the first Adam. That's what we inherited from him being snake bit back in the garden. And then Jesus comes along into our life, and we invite him into our life. And then we're born of the spirit of the second Adam, or the last Adam. And so we have a nature, and a nature isn't a spirit. We have a nature of the first Adam that we inherited, and now we're born again of the spirit of the second Adam, and they all live in the same house. So sometimes there's a conflict between the natural and the spiritual, and if you haven't encountered that yet, awesome, but you will. And there's spiritual conflicts that are going to arise, and it's all about learning about God and about the kingdom of God. And that's just a natural thing that comes along in every Christian that has experienced their flesh. I got a phone call one night, and there was a woman crying on the other end of the phone. And she said, "I can't follow Jesus anymore." "So what did you do?" And she was in Ajax, had some religious function. And she got into an argument with her girlfriend in the car and kicked her out of the car. And I said, "Well, there might still be hope for you." The lady had to call her husband and get a ride home. And so I talked to her about apologizing, saying you're sorry, and smoothing things over. And I believe they did. And she was happy to find out that she wasn't kicked out of heaven. Amen. From one bad act. But that's what the natural man does. Gets angry and kicks you out of the car and makes you walk home. But that's not what the spiritual man does. Yeah. He absorbs whatever you're saying and loves you anyway. Praise God. And so here we have both these powers living in one house. And so sooner or later, we're going to have a spiritual confrontation. Amen. And something that we need to deal with. And I want to look at a closer look at what a spiritual confrontation looks like. And, you know, Jesus brings something up in chapter 10 and verse 19 of Mark. And a rich young man came to Jesus, a rich young ruler, said, "Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And the Lord says, "You know the commandments. Don't commit adultery, don't murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother." And he answered and said, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Amen. He had it going on. But in the 21st verse, Jesus said, looking at him, loved him, and said to him, "One thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have, and give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And come, take up your cross and follow me." But he was sad. He was sad at this word, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Lord Jesus, you'll catch more flies with honey. And hallelujah. Is Jesus outspoken or what? This rich young ruler comes along, and I wouldn't handle things that way. I would have said, "Well, let's start off with saying the sinner's prayer, and make sure you're at church on Sunday. Here, let me give you a new Bible to start reading." But the Lord is wiser than I am, and here he is like a surgeon. He puts his finger on the very thing in this rich young ruler's life that would trip him up later on. And it was his money. And he puts his finger on the things. And I want to tell you that the Holy Spirit, his job is to point out to us the areas of our life where we're being robbed of an abundant life. God has an abundant life for us. And you have to believe that before you're going to trust him. And here, this man was being called to be one of the 12, I believe. I believe he was called to be a disciple. Come, take up your cross. Follow after me. Price was too steep. And this was a spiritual confrontation. The Lord put his finger on something in the man's heart. I want to tell you a secret. Jesus wasn't after his money. He was after his heart. He's after our heart too. And but the man went away sorrowful. And has God ever put his finger on anything in your heart? I have to tell you, I don't know if there's anything God hasn't put his finger on in my heart. And when he finds us, or when we find him, he accepts us just the way we are, with all our faults, all our shortcomings, and he accepts us just the way we are. But I can tell you, he's not going to leave you that way. He loves you too much. And we're being fashioned, I guess you might say. He's making us after his own kind. He's making for a family for himself. And so the Lord comes along and sometimes puts his finger on things in your life. You know, here's a simple little thing. Saturday night, my life was given to hockey night in Canada.